Hey, everybody, it's YouthCast from Generation PRX. I'm your host, Molly Adams. Public radio. I work for it, and even sometimes I get tired of the do-goodery stuff I hear on the news. Sometimes it even becomes a parody of itself, like almost every story about African-American or black students in public education talks about what a crappy deal they are getting. And you have to ask at a certain point, really? Like, really? Those are the only stories you can find? So here's the thing. I've got another one of these stories for you today. But this time, I get to talk to the reporter and ask all my questions. Francesca Witcher goes to Miami University, Ohio, and she said, don't quote me on the numbers, which I'm doing right now, but it's got to be less than 3% black and less than 1% black male. This piece of hers is fairly straightforward, but it raised a lot of questions for me, which we'll get to after listening to it. I talked to Francesca on the phone through a snowstorm in the Midwest, and I asked what exactly she means by survive, because this is Black Men Surviving on a Predominantly White College Campus by Francesca Witcher of Miami University, Ohio.
Quan, Ronald, John, and Eric are four faces that represent black male students on Miami's campus. All of them are expected to graduate from Miami, but all are just one of the few black men to survive and thrive on a predominantly white campus. The most recent update in 2001 says the retention rate of black men at Miami is 66%, which is well above the national average, but still, black men on Miami's campus fall below white men who graduate at 81%. So why are black men graduating at significantly lower rates than their white male counterparts? A senior and member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, Jaquan Yon, talks about how he had to find a job to help support his mother and younger siblings. He says black men who live in single-parent households are forced to take on responsibilities at an early age.
It's fundamentally, we're missing that vital building block as a foundation to our household by the role of the black father or whatever that is supposed to be.
Senior John Killings says the lack of resources in Cleveland public school systems, where mostly black children attend, creates setbacks for black men to have the chance to survive on a college campus.
I think a lot of it is because of the lack of support and the lack of resources.
Ronald Blassingame says that when he came to college, he struggled with some subjects because he had not learned them in high school.
Academically, I felt like when I got here, I was kind of behind everyone else because it seemed like certain things that would come up in class, everyone would understand. I'd just be sitting there like, okay, when did they learn this? So I felt like at first I was kind of at a lower playing field, I guess because of my public school background.
According to Killings, the media plays a role in as to why black men are not graduating from college.
I think the major downfall is culture. We can't fully express ourselves in the true entity of where we're from or what we like to do because of the negative stereotypes through the media of black culture. So that takes a bearing on our education because we're constantly trying to prove ourselves to others.
Yon also says that social constraints and stereotypes play a major role in the black male success in college.
The way that you will be treated by others is different depending upon your outward appearance. The same thing goes with race. Just as a black male, I feel that there is a certain amount of self awareness that you must have. That is a little bit higher than others because I feel like going to most situations in this university, you already may have potentially one or two strikes against you.
22-year-old and junior Eric Fennell is the co-founder and current president of GDC, or the Gentlemen of Distinguished Character. GDC is a student organization that reaches out to black male students to ensure that they have support on campus. He says GDC targets this particular issue facing black men.
Guys can get overwhelmed, pretty much. I mean, it can be a major, like, culture shock in a way, as far as, like, you know, kind of having been able to kind of breeze through high school, some people, and then coming here and not really have too many people to depend on or feel like you can depend on certain people.
Fennell, like Yon and Killings, believes that society's stereotypes of the black man influences others to have negative viewpoints of them.
I mean, like I said before, like, it's already these stereotypes of black males always getting in trouble or being the cause of ruckus or whatever it may be. So I think that has a lot to do with, you know, like, officers pointing to us first when there's, like, a problem.
Other universities have taken similar initiatives to create programs and organizations to cater to this particular issue. In 2005, The Ohio State University started the Todd Bell National Resource Center to help African-American men with personal growth and academic development. But Yon says success mainly relies on black men not creating a handicap within themselves.
To people, not only the black man, but more specifically the black man as himself, I feel like a lot of people assume that things are being thought about them that may not be true, which is self-handicap. And it kind of inhibits their ability to go forward with tasks and do the best they can.
Fennell says personal responsibility in combination with better university action is what will help retain black men at a much higher rate.
Hello.
Hey, Francesca.
Hi, is this Molly?
This is Molly. So let's start with what your major is and why you decided to pick this topic as your final.
Well, my major is journalism and black world studies, and I have a minor in political science. And I chose this piece for my radio piece because I actually, for one of my classes last semester, it was called Media and Society, and one of the subjects was how the media portrays African-Americans, specifically African-American males. And so I thought, as an extension of, like, some of the research I had done in that class on that topic, I thought it would be interesting to turn into, like, an actual piece for my broadcast journalism class. So that's kind of how I got started with that.
So the numbers you cited at the beginning of the piece, that there's a 66% retention rate for black males versus 81% of white males, and those were from, like, almost 10 years ago, from 2001. Do you see, just, like, anecdotally, visually, that that's changed?
As far as Miami's campus goes, I don't think that statistic has changed as much. I would say the retention rate is better, but as far as black males on predominantly white campuses, I don't think it's changed that much, because even on Miami's campus, the amount of black male students as non-athletic is probably less than 1%.
Why did you choose the word surviving? You know, you said that in the beginning, like, surviving and thriving, that it, like, you know, the vision I got was, like, black male students being terrorized every day on campus.
It's not so much being terrorized, but surviving as a word, because a lot of times black male students don't have the support or outreach by the administration or support of other students. A lot of times when, you know, they walk into a class and they're already, you know, judged by other peers of theirs, it's like, are you going to be able to do the work that we can do? Are you going to be able to keep up? So there's already this pre-notion that, you know, can you even make it here? Kind of like a survival thing, especially, you know, if they're not going to an HBCU, you know, on a white campus.
Sorry, what's like an that. HBCU?
HBCU is a historically black college or university.
Okay.
For example, Howard, Hampton, or Spelman are HBCUs.
So to play devil's advocate, like, what I would imagine Rush Limbaugh to ask you would be like, well, what kind of, like, resources are you talking about? Why do you need special treatment? Like, when people are saying in the piece, like, there's no support, there's no resources, what are they looking for that's not being provided at Miami and other universities that are not historically black or have a large black population?
I guess just the support of, like, you know, you can make it, you can graduate. Just that simple support of, you know, black males knowing that, you know, they're as good as the other students. And sometimes, a lot of times on white campuses, they don't have that kind of support.
Like,
from,
no, like that
staff, or they don't have those people outreaching to them, or
that there
if they're
aren't
going through some.
Sorry, that there aren't, like, professors of color, that there aren't, like, student unions, or there aren't like advisors, like minority student advisors or anything.
Exactly. They may be there, but a lot of times, sometimes those services don't reach out to certain black male students.
Do you know anybody specifically who, I mean, black or white, do you know anyone, or not black or white, anyone specifically who has dropped out?
Actually, my brother, a long time ago, dropped out of college. And I think a lot of that, and reflecting over that, it's because he didn't have a lot of support on his campus. He actually went to Hartford University in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
This was about maybe eight, nine years ago now. But I don't think he really had that kind of support. Yes, he had support from family and friends at home, but I guess when he was there on campus, if he needed somebody to go to, I don't think all of that support they didn't have, like, you know, an ODA or a BSAA or
what are those?
Like that to help support him.
What does ODA and BSAA stand for?
ODA is the Office of Diversity Affairs, and BSAA is the Black Student Action Association.
So he, in reflection, he feels like he dropped out because, like, he didn't have social connections, that people kind of didn't want him to be there.
Not necessarily people didn't. Well, it's a combination of that and that somebody wasn't there to really give him a perspective of, you know, what a college degree can do. They didn't, mm-hmm. He didn't have that confidence of, like, what's my purpose of being here? You know, when he faces, like, certain challenges, you know, then they start to question, you know, what's my purpose of even being here on campus? If I have to, you know, face these certain situations. So I think it was that, yeah. Thank you so, so much. This is such an honor.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye, Francesca.
All right, bye-bye.
I want to thank Francesca for talking with me. And if you head over to youthcast.org, you can find some links to more of her work. Since Francesca told me she was thinking of getting into politics, you might want to get in on it early. And you know, you should really be our Facebook friend. We're very distracting. Facebook.com/youthcast is where you go. So that's it for us. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Yep.